The Senate will come to order. Will senators indicate their presence by voting?
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning.
Reverend Spencer of the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church will give the invocation.
Let us pray. O good and great God, we thank you for the expression of your greatness and goodness that we enjoy in the natural and developed resources of this great state. For each of our 566,432 square miles, we say thanks. For wind and rain, snow and ice, for clouds and sunshine, we give you thanks. For oil and timber, tourism and government, fish and potatoes, for all of the diversity that serves the common good of our great state, we give you thanks. Yet for what purpose are the natural and developed resources of our state if not to serve the good of we the people? Give us the patience and wisdom to recognize the interdependence inherent in such diversity, that oil worker depends upon government worker, lumberjack depends upon home builder, and yes, fisherman depends upon potato farmer, and potato farmer upon fisherman. May all of us recognize a dependence on that one who is the source of all good, and may our laws and the process whereby they are conceived reflect a vision that extends beyond good and expedient politics, and include a recognition and dependence upon the God in whom is our past and our future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Coghill?
Mr. President, I move National Unanimous Consent to prayer for the Federal Journal.
Hearing no objection. Secretary, please certify the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 58th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 54.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal and supplement as certified by the Senate Secretary be approved.
No objection. The guest for introduction. Senator DeVries.
Mr. President, in the far gallery is a constituent from Seward of both Senator Petulis and mine. He has also served on the Kenai Peninsula Borough, Jonathan Seale.
Senator Paul Fisher?
Yes, Mr. President. Aside of Jonathan Seale is another Kenai Peninsula Borough assemblyman from Saldovia, John Crawford.
Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, I have in the far gallery a young friend of mine, constituent. I've known him ever since the day he was born. He's here for the Alaska Native Leadership Conference. Welcome to the Senate, Don Huff.
Senator Farrancamp?
Mr. President, also associated with the National Native Leadership Group is my shadow, who will be here for the next couple of days, and that's Donna Westall. We want to welcome her.
Senator Rudy?
Mr. President, in the far gallery is a longtime friend of mine, well-known biologist in Southeast Alaska and the field representative for the National Rifle Association, Mr. Rube Andrews.
Senator Victor Fisher?
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce one of the ANLP participants who's working with me today and tomorrow, Steve Kaparik, who's a photographer and writer for the Tundra Times. He was born in Nome and lives in Anchorage now. Steve.
Senator Halford?
Thank you, Mr. President. There are a number of people in the gallery behind me with the Alaska Native Leadership Project, some of whom have been introduced already, and I'll try to not redo that. But Nancy Barnes is here from Cordova. Thelma Beans is here from Mountain Village. Gladys Chesley is here from Norvik. Reggie Cleveland from Shungnak. Sydney Cleveland from Ambler. Barbara Curtis from Kotku. Rose Fosdick from Fairbanks. Steve Kakarik from Anchorage. Hedy Lestenkoff from St. Paul Island, Pat Norman from Port Graham, Lois Falken from St. Mary's, Kimberly Phillips from Gillingham, Elsie Sampson from Norvik, Lisa Fan from Klutna, and Oscar Walker from Kotski.
Welcome to office?
Mr. President, also in the far gallery, I noticed the wife and former member of the House, Alvin Osterbach, Marie Osterbach.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, I don't know if he left or not, but I threatened to introduce him. He's one of my harshest critics and hopefully one of my strongest supporters. I don't know if he's still there or not. Dr. Joe Sonneman, is he still around the corner there?
No.
He left. Good.
The messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
There are no messages from the House.
Any communications?
The 1985 Annual Human Rights Report was received today. This has been distributed to all senators and will be on file. That was the only communication.
Reports of standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 421, Attachment and Assignment of Permanent Fund Dividends. Senator Rohde, Chairman, and Senators Fakes, Ziegler, and Kelly signed due pass. SS-SB 421 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 423, creating a Missing Persons Information Clearinghouse. Senator Rohde, Chairman, and Senators Fakes, Ziegler, and Kelly signed due pass. SB 423 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 55, 18th Annual Girls State. Senator Abood, Chairman, and Senators DeVries, Vic Fisher, and Ray signed due pass. HCR 55 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 56, 20th Annual Boys State, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators DeVries, Vic Fisher, and Ray. HCR 56 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Resolution Number 8, Use of Alaskan Wood, and SSSB 374, State Toll Facilities, recommends calendar March 12. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Josephson, Bennett, and Coghill. The Rules Committee also considered CSHB 144, Judiciary Title Amended, List of Political Campaign Contributions, recommends calendar March 12. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Coghill and Bennett. These three are on today's calendar, and those are the standing committee reports today.
Reports of special committees?
We have no special committee reports.
The new resolutions?
There are no new resolutions.
The new bills for introduction?
There are no new bills.
This brings us to consideration of today's calendar. Will the Secretary please read the first item of today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 374 by Senators DeVries and Fakes, an act relating to state toll facilities. The Transportation Committee considered this bill, recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Paul Fisher, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Abood, and Josephson. The Finance Committee considered this bill, recommends due pass with the transportation amendment and attached 2-0 fiscal notes. Senator Fakes, co-chairman, and Senators Hofford, Paul Fisher, Eliason, and Sackett signed due pass. Senator Curtulo signed due pass, question economic feasibility. There is an amendment number 1 by the Transportation Committee on page 2, line 9, delete AS 3717730 and insert AS 3715730. And on line 12, page 2, delete AS 3717760Z, insert 3715767.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Transportation Committee amendments. Just to explain briefly, there is no such thing as 3717. It was a drafter's error. It should be 3515730.
Senator Wright?
I misunderstood it, but I thought the Secretary said on line 9. Did you say line 9?
Page 2, line 9, and page 2, line 12.
Very good. Thank you.
Without objection, the Transportation Committee amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Halford?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 374 amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the bill is now before us in third reading. Will the Secretary please read the bill?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 374, amended and act relating to state toll facilities.
Senator Coggan.
Mr. President, the bill is quite simple, self-explanatory. What we're doing here is the intent of the authors is to help the city of Whittier get a position where that they can get a toll tunnel and to build another tunnel into the Whittier access. The railroad tunnel is not feasible to put automobile traffic into it. What it does is just simply adds tunnels to the toll authority and adds the Whittier Toll Road Authority. And I think it's a good bill, and in light of the news that we got from the governor's office this morning, I think it's even more fitting.
Ready for the question? Senator Wright.
Well, it's a little ambiguous on line 24. It seems to me that when you start with section 3, it talks about two crossing or two toll roads. And then it goes down to the next thing, and it says for each project. Perhaps it should have read for either project, and I would understand that you did put it in for either one and not both collectively. So it seems like it's a little bit ambiguous, and hopefully maybe a letter of intent or an understanding to the House or a communication with the House side would either correct that or give the indication, because it does give an ambiguity there that you have to have both projects ready to go before anything happens. It seemed to me from the language.
Ready for the question? The question being, shall sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 374, amended, pass the Senate. Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 absent.
So the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 374, amended, has passed the Senate. The Secretary, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 144, Judiciary, title amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to lists of political campaign contributions. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill. Majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators DeVries, Vic Fisher, and Ray. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill. Senator Rohde, Chairman, and Senator Kelly signed do pass. Senator Ziegler and Fake signed no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Hoppe.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute to House Bill 144 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and place in final passage.
Hearing no objection, the bill is now before us in third reading. Will the Secretary please read the bill?
CS for House Bill number 144 Judiciary, title amended. An act relating to lists of political campaign contributions.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, heretofore the names of those groups which received campaign contributions and a credit for which was sought were not public information. This bill makes the names of those groups which received the contributions and hence the credit public information. I would recommend it to the body.
Senator Lassen.
Mr. President, I have just one question. I see where they're going to mail this to the Alaska Public Office Commission. My question is, why don't they also mail a copy to the candidates so they can check on it to see if their list is complete?
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, it's difficult for me to respond in on Mr. Martin's and Mr. Maru's bill, as I'm wanted to explain the bill, and that, and I believe I did so. That question is collateral and was not dealt with either in committee nor in my conversations with the authors. If you wish to hold it for a day and propose additional amendments, I would have no objection.
Senator Lassen.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. We hold this bill for one legislative day.
Hearing no objection. House bill. Senator Curtillo.
I do not object to the suggestion. I think it's an excellent suggestion. I'm wondering, though, if since it's being held for a day, the committees that have held this meeting to have hearings on this subject, both committees that have done so, I think State Affairs and Judiciary, one of the committee chairmen might take it upon themselves to look in the possibility of a change of title, a resolution, and we could just delete the whole program in lieu of our present revenue projections. We would save $6 or $8 million, and this is one good place to do it. And this would be a very good vehicle to do it, and it would solve all the problems and all the questions. And I think it would be an excellent opportunity. I strongly suggest it to the committee that's going to amend it, presumably the Judiciary Committee.
withdraw my objection.
Without objection, House Bill 144 will be held over for one legislative day. Would Secretary please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Resolution Number 8 by Senator Bates relating to the use of Alaskan oil. Resources Committee considered this resolution.
Resources Committee considered this resolution and recommends be passed. Signed, Senator Strzelewski, Chairman, concurring Senators Coghill, Fahrenkamp, Eliason, Jaroff, McFisher, and Hofford. There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Ziegler on pages 1 and 2. On line 5, page 1, change the word Alaskan to Alaska. And on lines 5 and 6 on page 2, change the word Alaskan to Alaska.
Senator Ziegler?
President, I move the adoption of the amendment, and if I may speak to it briefly. It's really not my amendment. It's Joe LaRocca's amendment. He said, when are you clowns in the Senate going to speak English as she has spoken or should be spoken? And apparently his argument goes, and I have no doubt to ever question his judgment on matters pertaining to grammar. And we also have several educators in the Senate, and we also have an ace grammarian in our Madam Secretary. And his argument is this. We use the word Alaska as both a noun and as an adjective. We don't refer, for example, to the Alaskan Department of Commerce or the Alaskan Division of Tourism. But he says, on the other hand, Alaskan can only be a noun. Everybody in this room is an Alaskan, and it cannot be used as an adjective. That's what he says. We've been doing it wrong for years, but that doesn't mean that we should continue to commit error. So I ask unanimous consent.
Senator Ray?
I think we have a technical here that we could probably on line 19. It says which provides it, and it has two sections of an act, which there's a lot more sections than that. Perhaps we should put in which provides it part, because it it gives the inference that this is the whole bill is these two things, and that isn't so. There's a lot more to it. I think it's just a technicality if it's agreeable.
Without objection, the amendment is adopted, and we can take care of the technical correction. Is that right? Do we have a second? Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senate Resolution Number 8, amended, is now before us in final passage. Is there any discussion?
Question.
The question being, shall Senate Resolution Number 8, amended, pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her mind, her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent.
So, Senate Resolution Number 8 amended and passed the Senate. Secretary, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 44 by the Judiciary Committee requesting the United States House of Representatives to approve the McClure-Volkmer bill was held in second from yesterday.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Halford?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 44 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the resolution is before us in third reading. Will the Secretary please read the resolution?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 44, requesting the United States House of Representatives to approve the McClure-Volkmer bill.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rody?
Mr. President, each member has on his or her desk a copy of the Volkmer-McClure bill in the original, as well as a sectional analysis and some commentary by the National Rifle Association. Our entire congressional delegation supports the bill, and I would recommend it to the body.
Question?
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 44 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
So, Senate Joint Resolution Number 44 has passed the Senate. Secretary, please read the citation calendar.
Mr. President.
Senator Kirkland.
This is the appropriate moment, but I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a sponsor of the Bill Green and Nils Brasted citations.
Hearing no objection. Senator Dexter Fisher?
Mr. President, so long as we're adding names, I appreciate my name being added to the Bill Green citation.
Mr. President, same request.
Secretary, read the citation, Governor.
Citation honoring William Bill Green by Senators Bennett, Bierenkamp, Curtula, Vic Fisher, and Coghill. Honoring Niels Rostad by Representatives Kopanen and Frank and Senators Bennett, Bierenkamp, and Curtula. In memoriam, Lucille M. Young by Representatives Gruenberg, Adams, Pierce, and Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be adopted.
Okay, no objection. Citation calendar has been adopted. Brings us to the end of today's calendar. Is there any unfinished business? Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Mr. President, in the far gallery is a distinguished labor leader who is a former constituent of yours and Senator Fahrenkamp's, now a constituent of mine, Mr. Jim Sampson.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
Mr. President, under old business, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused in the Senate, not subject to a call tomorrow, 14th, personal reason.
Senator Churchilewski.
Yes, I'd ask for additional referral. Move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 414, which deals with municipal land entitlements, be referred to the Resources Committee after Community and Regional Affairs.
Without objection. Brings us to committee announcement of committee meetings. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, the Hess Committee meeting scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled. And on Monday, March 17th at 10 a.m., 10 to 11, in the Belch Room, Hess Committee will be holding a work session on House Bill 114 that's relating to the correction system. But would you please bring your packet of materials as we do markup on that bill?
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, the Senate Transportation Committee will be meeting today at 3:30 in the Butrovich Room. We have two bills up. We'll be having a hearing on Senate Bill 373, which relates to the metropolitan planning of highways, and House Bill 409 relating to school bus driver's licensing.
Senator Sarof.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet today at 12:30 in the Belch Room. We'll have before us Senate Bill 377, which is an act relating to civil actions, amending Alaska's rules of civil procedure, and Senate Bill 404, which is an act relating to insurance, either authorizing joint insurance arrangements, repealing prohibition against certain types of group insurance.
A
couple meetings today. Senate Resources special meeting at noon. Senate Finance, House Bill 288, subsistence. That'll be a listening-only teleconference at 1:30. We'll reconvene in the Butrovich Room for SB 410, dealing with financing of shore-based fish processors by CFAB, and SB 375, the hazardous substance bill.
Mr. President, I guess I must have made a mistake there in the announcement of the meeting. It's not at 12:30, but rather at 3:30 p.m.
Thank you. You just saved my lunch. Senator Booth.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Wednesday, March the 19th, which is a week from today, the Joint Committee on Selection of the Ombudsman will be meeting in Representative Miller from Juneau's office at 7 o'clock that evening to consider the process and consider the nominees for the Ombudsman. I'll make another announcement at the beginning of next week to remind you of it.
Brings us to special orders. Senator Kutula.
I'm going to ask the floor to make a comment on the subject brought up yesterday.
Any objection? You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, under various pressures, and it's the fun of the game, and I've been guilty of it too. I think we make overstatements from time to time. Mr. President, more than 50 years ago, a group of farmers started in the Matanuska Valley. Preceding that, the last railroad had brought up a group, promoted them in the 20s, and there were a few that homesteaded in the greater Fairbanks area. And some down in the Kenai, Homer area in particular, a few out in Kodiak.
various islands. There are even a few in Juneau, downtown Juneau, Anchorage, and other areas like the McCarthy-Kennecott area. They served a purpose at the time. Particularly, it was a great distance from railroad transportation, great distance from transportation sources to fresh food products. Mr. President, over the many years, the Senate has accommodated me in allowing me to provide, often in lieu of capital projects, funds for the agriculture loan program. And we built it very slowly into, say, about a $10 million, $15 million program. When the products of the various areas that I've suggested, particularly Fairbanks, Anchorage, Kenai areas, came on the market, the prices of food went down immediately, lettuce from $1 a pound to 15, 20 cents a pound. The other products came down to the consumer. And it was in the consumer's interest to keep the outside suppliers a little more honest. It provided a real help and benefit. And it was a fresher, non-spray product. The meats that were provided, as minimal as they were, did not have stilbestrol and the growth hormones that poison America today. It was non-sprayed, lots of times under-fertilized, just a more wholesome product, came close to market. That aside, Mr. President, we had a program just in the Matanuska Valley that sold $10 million worth of product a year, made the distributor $500,000 a year. It was better and bigger, I think, than Elmer Rasmussen's bank. Those farmers were not on public assistance by any definition. They hacked her out the hard way in one and two and three generations, made a bare living, but made a living that allowed them to live in the style they chose, pretty much. We could not predict the onslaught of the pipeline. There were other factors. The tremendous costs that came to the production, particularly the processing with very urbanized trade union help, demanding triple and quadruple what had been previous salaries, much more than our competitors in South 48. We could not predict the $55 billion under a conservative administration subsidy to our competitors in the South 48 that provided products for less than the cost of production even out there. Sometimes less the cost of production and transportation to this area. Couldn't prevent that. Don't have any say in it. Finally, as the urban spread moved in, we couldn't predict the tremendous tax differentials. The borough needed the money to build schools. And I have a theory, and it was proposed by the late John Roland Snodgrass, that everything the private industry, the state and the federal government had done for farming had been undone by the local government. We couldn't predict the fact that the tax was based on need, not on services, so that your farm was taxed at real estate values, not at the values of the land that produced no better salary than a carpenter's toolbox, for comparison. There's just a whole lot of tinkering and a whole lot of efforts have gone on in this body and the other body and the administration to promote agriculture, albeit. And maybe now we should decry and complain and say we should have another look at that. But there are a cadre and a body of farmers that this whole program did nothing for, and they, again, are not being serviced in any way greater than any of us presently by government, and they haven't been. And I think we do them a disservice not to recognize that cadre and that group and to suggest that what they're doing is nothing. You know, it's my theory that most of us should be placed in Seattle. We're not doing anything and sent our checks, the differential cost, we live in Alaska because everything we get comes up from Seattle. Everything we use comes up from Seattle. Everything we wear, there isn't even a machine shop being built in this state, let alone any other kind of industry. So a little bit of farming, a little bit of fishing, a little bit of mining, maybe we're going to fall back to one of these days. Those people that made the decision to spend the state funds, and I spoke to this previously, to develop new lands, I applaud them. So they haven't been an immediate success. Again, though, they shouldn't detract from those long-term people that were here. Let me say this, too. It cost $2 million to pave, with paving brick, a block in downtown 4th Avenue, Anchorage. You know? Let alone the $1 billion we placed in capital projects there for the benefit of the sales and service community. I'm not sure that they shouldn't be brought, and that attention shouldn't be brought to the public, as well as the fact that we spent a few dollars on some farmers, some miners, and some fishermen. Why isn't it? Because it is unattractive to make that statement. Too many voters out there. Too many voters to get into it. And I know that because we got into the problems of the foreclosure potential of housing a couple, 3 years ago in one category. Didn't want to touch it, but this was $10 million delinquent at the time. There are many voters out there. That isn't a proper thing to touch. We'll work it out and work the system. There's always a few farmers, because there aren't very many voters among the farmers, that catch it. And they catch it in this body too unfairly. Thank you.
Mr. President, can I have the privilege of the floor on the same topic?
Do I object? You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we do tend to generalize on our own mistakes in some of the recent developments in agriculture, and I just think that I probably owe an apology to the potato farmers, who in fact are probably the least subsidized. Those in the produce farmers are the least subsidized of all the farmers in the state. I think we do have some alchemy in the agricultural programs, but it probably doesn't relate directly to those crops that have been grown for years in the Mountain Valley without subsidy and without a lot of support or even sometimes some real negative actions by the state and local governments.
Senator Farncamp?
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Objection, introduction of guests.
I notice in the gallery behind me that we have members of Labor's Local 942 from home, Joe Thomas.
Hi.
And I think Jim has already been introduced. And Dixie Haddish.
Senator Halford.
Mr. President, two final announcements. One, the Alaska Native Foundation and the Alaska Native Leadership Project are hosting a reception in the House Finance Room this evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And, Mr. President, there will be a majority caucus on a motion to adjourn. I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.